Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your greater glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, having abandoned that reckless plan, I thought about this guy. So, if I recognize him, who is that? It's not Galileo. It's older than Galileo. Someone's singing Bohemian Rhapsody. Calm him down. Now this is a Roman god. And what does this Roman god have? Two faces. And what's he doing? Looking forward and looking back. It is the Greek, no, not Greek, the Roman god Janus, from which some people take the name January. So I thought it would be a good idea not to look at a Roman god, but to look forward and look back. I often think we have 52 sermons a year, and I think we just move on and move on and move on, and we don't often reflect enough on what's being preached in this church every week. So I thought this would be an opportunity to do a review of 2016 and look forward to 2017. Now, I always think we should send our own Christmas card. We get some brilliant cards every year. But I think this is one that I should have sent this year. It's a quote from Søren Kierkegaard, who was a Danish philosopher and theologian. He said, "Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards." And 2016, as has already been hinted to, has been a quite a distressing and confusing year. Living through it hasn't made much sense. Hopefully, looking back, we'll be able to make sense of it in the future. Now, I am a bit of a humbug. I don't like Christmas traditions. I love the period between Christmas and New Year. Okay? And it's well known in my family. I have a Bar Humbug t-shirt. I haven't worn it this year, but I actually like the period between Christmas and New Year because I can sit down and reflect on things. And what I like to do is I like to read the magazines and look online and the review of the year in terms of the best film of the year, the best series on TV or online of the year, the best book of the year, and the best album of the year. And I often look through the listings and see, have I missed something out? Have I missed something that somebody else has read or listened to and said is really good? And do I need to check this film out, this book, this series, or whatever? So, have you got a favourite film of the year, series, book, or album? Maybe not. How about your favourite sermon of the year? Now, Bart's not here. So if anybody says, what sermons? We're in trouble because he can't actually listen to this online. He'll probably be checking up on what I've said. He asked me what I was talking about today, and I suspect he'll listen to this online later. So we've had 52 sermons in the year. Bart has delivered most of them. What is your favourite? Maybe we need to refresh our memories. Okay, I'm not going to make it easy for you. You need to be sharp. Here's the first thing we looked at last year. I can say last year because it's now 2017. It was a book. What is the book? And how can you tell? Because it's the queen. What else? Yeah, but what she's doing? What she's stirring. Okay. And what's she sitting on? Persian carpet next to a Persian cat. Okay, this is the Book of Esther. Okay, it's the Book of Esther, which is in the Old Testament. We did the whole of the Book of Esther early last year. It's about the Jews in exile in Babylon, Persia. I seem to have lost my mic there. And we looked at the whole book. And it's a brilliant book. It's one of my favourite Old Testament stories. And one of the things that really fascinates me is an absence of something in that book. The name of God. Not God, but the name of God. There is never a direct quote or naming of God in the book. But God is there. There are far too many coincidences in the book for God not to be operating in the book of Esther. And one key verse is the king of Persia wakes up at night and he decides he wants to go back to sleep, and he has to have a book read to him as a bedtime story to send him back to sleep. And what does it do? It reminds him of the work of Mordecai, who he'd forgotten. It's a book about the people of Israel, the people of God in danger. God is not mentioned, but God is there. He's behind the scenes, working his purposes out. The theological name for this is Providence. There are no coincidences in the book of Esther. God's people are saved. So we looked at the book of Esther early in the year. And I always like to do this at the end of a sermon. Something to take away, something to apply to my life. Okay? So I asked the question, where is God today? Is he there? 2016 seemed like a really bad year. Where was God in 2016? He was there. Okay, we may not understand what was going on, but he was there. And the other thing we need to take from Esther is Esther didn't wait for something to be done. She acted, and God used her actions to bring about his purposes. And it's the same for us. God is there. He expects us to act, and he will use our actions to bring about his purposes. So that's the book of Esther. So when you see Bart say, "Bart, I love the series on Esther. It really spoke." Okay. Then what do we do? Another picture clue.
Exodus.
Okay, how do we know this? You can see Egypt in the background. It's the pyramids and Sphinx. It's the people of God leaving Egypt, leaving slavery, the land of the pyramids and the Sphinxes and Pharaoh. And they're about to cross the Red Sea. We studied Exodus 14 to 15, which is the first half of the book. And there are lots of things in the book to be taken. Just a few ideas to remind you. Summary. We learn a lot about God. God reveals himself to Moses, and he reveals a lot about himself. He gives his special name, the I Am, the Yahweh name. In the Old Testament, up to that point, God had been God Almighty. Now he is the God who is. He is the God who wants a relationship with his people. He wants to deliver them from slavery. Key section is, I am the Lord. God reveals himself and who he is. Okay? Again, what can we take away from this amazing book? We can take away God is making himself known to us. He's a God who wants to be known. He doesn't want us just to know about him. He wants us to know him. He wants a relationship with us. So we've done Esther, we did Exodus. Where do we go next? Any trouble here? What do you see? The letter and a switch. So it's the switches. So it's John. The Gospel of John. We're coming up to Easter at this point, and we focused in on the book of the Gospel of John, the chapters 19 and 20. This is the time of Jesus dying on the cross and rising again. And the book of John was used this year to tell the Easter story. What is John about? It's about Jesus, and John is painting Jesus as
God.
As the Son of God. The Son of God. Okay? So Jesus' divinity and deity is being emphasized in this book, this gospel account. And it's full of miracles. It tells us who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God. And the whole purpose of the gospel is set out at the very end of the book, which we didn't cover, but it is so that people might believe who Jesus is and have life in his name. Now, just referring back to Luke 2, one of the things about Jesus, probably not brought out in John, but certainly brought out in the gospels, is how Jesus fulfilled the law. Even before he could speak, he was fulfilling the law. He was taken to the temple to fulfill the ceremonial law. And we see throughout the books of the gospel Jesus fulfilling the prophecies and fulfilling the law and living it fully. And so what do I take away from the Gospel of John. Jesus must be responded to. We can't ignore him. He demands our response. We either reject him or we accept him. He won't also be ignored or forgotten. We need to realise he is there. He will not be ignored. He will not be forgotten. We need to respond to him. So we did Esther, we did Exodus, we did extracts from John's Gospel. What was the big section of the year? You are technically correct. It is Luke, but it's the book of Acts. Okay. So we see, this is the easiest one, we see the church being formed out of the wood. We have the book of Acts. It's Luke's second book. The church is carved out in the book of Acts. We've done chapters 1 to 20. Whew. And we're going to finish it off in April, according to the preaching programme. So we're going to have done the whole of Acts in less than a year. So the book of Acts was our major concern. And the message of Acts is various, but it is about what's the purpose of our church. Okay, in the book of Acts, we see the Christian community being built up. We see relationships in the church being established. Not always good relationships. There is falling out. There are clashes. There are conflicts. But we see the church going out in power to spread the gospel. So that's the biggest part of the year, looking back. Okay. And again, a key verse here is the one where they were told they will receive power and they're to go out. Now, the book of Acts speaks very powerfully to me because I believe that we're living in a time when the conditions the first Christians faced in their church is very similar to the ones we face today. The church today no longer has the right to speak and be listened to. People don't listen to Christianity, they don't listen to Christians automatically. We're just one voice in a multicultural, multi-faith world. We have to fight to be heard. Okay? And we also have found over the years that students I teach, they have less and less Christian knowledge and background, and the words I use and the images I use and the language I speak has had to be modified. There is a whole world out there that hasn't heard the gospel. It is new to them. It is news that they haven't heard. And the need is incredible now to spread the gospel. Just as the early church in the book of Acts spoke to people to whom Christianity was a new thing, it is a new thing to so many people in our society today. So that's looking back. What have we got to look forward to? Find out after the break. So we've looked back on what books were we studying this last year? Esther, Exodus, John, and Acts. Okay, and we know already one of the things that's going to be coming up in 2017 is the finishing of the series in Acts. Oh, we seem to have gone to the back. There we go. So, that's Janus, the God looking forward, looking back. We've looked back. Now we're in 2017. It's time to get into this year and look forward. And I wonder what we're going to be saying at the end of this year in terms of what was the best film, what was the best series, what was the best book, album, and sermon. Yeah. Do we have great expectations? All right, no pressure, Bart, if you're listening to this. All right, okay, now, I haven't got my calendar from Poundland yet, so I'm going tomorrow. They really do good calendars, by the way. Excellent calendars, I recommend them. I'm not being sponsored in any way, but I need to get my calendar, and I don't know about you, I like to put some things in it to make me feel important. I've got things to look forward to. Okay, this should be, if you already have been given your diary or your calendar or your planner, this date should be in that diary. Any ideas why? When is that? Halloween this year. Why should Halloween be in your diary this year? Just so you're ready for the trick-or-treaters, maybe? They don't tend to come around very much, do they? It's become very orderly and very sort of well-organised in Berylyn Surbiton. It's all very sort of well-orchestrated. Why that date? It's not the trick-or-treat that interests me. Do you want to revise your answer? No, it's not 400 years, it's... I make it 500. Just skipped a millennium there. Okay, it is officially going to be 500 years since the start of the Reformation. And what is the symbolism there? Yeah, how many?
95,
very good. 95 theses. Hammered on where? A church door in Wittenberg in Germany. What was the name of the church? I think Luther was having a bit of a laugh here. The name of the church. Think of the time of year. All Saints Church. All Saints Church. I think he was having a bit of a laugh. He was a bit humorous, apparently, but I think he might have been humorous. He nailed a document called the 95 Theses, or Points for Dispute, on the church door, and that's seen as the start of the Reformation. And it's been celebrated for 499 years, and probably not as strongly in Britain, but certainly in Germany it has been celebrated. I discovered even Bach wrote some cantatas for it, so I'm going to be listening to those this year. I have to add to my CD collection, just to warn Jane there. But it is going to be Reformation Day on the 31st of October this year. And there are going to be a series of sermons in February, March, based on things that Luther and others had issues with. Luther was complaining when he put his nailed thesis to the door about indulgences, but he had other issues with the church. He wanted the church to reform, and that was one way to start the discussion, was to nail those 95 points about indulgences to the church door. But there were bigger issues that he wanted to address as well. And Bart will be taking us through five parts of his issues. And I've done the English rather than the Latin. Sola Scriptura, Sola Fidei, Sola Christus, Sola Gratia, Sola Deo Gloria. But Luther said, Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, glory of God alone. It was the sort of summary of what he wanted to push into the church to reform it and to make it more Bible-based. Now, there is a motto of the Reformation, and Cara reliably informs me she's corrected my Latin on this. Okay, VDMA. Any Latin scholars? You see, your Latin lessons were useful. Yeah, God, the word of the Lord endures forever. Okay, that is the motto of the Reformation. It seems an appropriate one to have today, given when we looked back at how we'd studied the word of the Lord last year, and looking forward to how we're going to study it this year. Now, where does that quote come from?
Isaiah.
It is Isaiah. Well done. It is Isaiah 40, but it's also quoted in the New Testament by an apostle. It is Peter. Bonus points for which letter? You got 50-50 chance? It is 1 Peter. It is 1 Peter 1:22-25, and I'm going to read it out because it is a really powerful piece of the New Testament. Now that you have been purified, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you may have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. But all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that has been preached, or that was preached to you. So we look forward to the preaching of that eternal word in 2017. What will be coming? Find out in the coming weeks. Now, I have a favourite prayer to close with, and I discovered it several years ago. It's by the writer Dr. Samuel Johnson, the writer and essayist. And he wrote a prayer in 1745. And I love it because he makes no assumptions about the coming year in this prayer. And I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to close with this prayer. So let's bow our heads and reflect on what he has to say. Almighty God, by whose mercy my life has yet prolonged another year, grant that thy mercy may not be in vain. Let not my years be multiplied to increase my guilt, but as age advances, let me become more pure in my thoughts, more regular in my desires, and more obedient to thy laws. Let not the cares of the world distract me, nor the evils of the age overwhelm me, but continue and increase thy loving kindness towards me. And when thou shalt call me hence, receive me to everlasting happiness. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.